Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What time is it? Game time! Game time!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us as all guests do. Brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well. Busy morning.
We got a busy morning. There's a lot going on. The Bears have fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. Don't know that they had much of an option. What was your take on it? What are you hearing about it?
Well, we talked about this on PFT Live before it happened. Anytime you get to this point of the season – where you're basically rearranging the deck chairs, right? The season's a disaster. This is a desperation move. This is a, we have to do something to make it look like we're trying. And does it really change anything? Who's going to suddenly come in and wave a magic wand and make the offense better? Is it going to be somebody else who's part of the same offensive coaching staff that got the coordinator fired? Are you going to bring in somebody from the outside like the Raiders did last week? With Norv Turner basically jumping into a DeLorean and taking it back to the 90s. I don't understand why these half measures happen. They're just a way, I think, to placate the fans through the media because we expect them to do something. How about stay the course? How about let's try to work through these rough spots? And the problem is this. We touched on this today as well. The team let the expectations and the hype get out of control. And this is where you need a head coach who's going to go into the marketing offices, go into the PR offices and say, hey, let's stop this, okay? Look at our division. Look at the Lions. Look at the Packers. Look at the Vikings. This isn't going to be easy. Why are we leaning into this idea that all of a sudden we're the monsters of the midway again? It's 1985 all over again, except with a great offense instead of a great defense. The Bears did a horrible job of managing expectations. So 4-5 looks like a failure, and now they got to do something to make it better. I don't think it's going to make it better. It just delays the inevitable, and it feels inevitable that when the season ends, if not sooner, they're going to be in the market for a new head coach.
Fair enough, Mike, but you couldn't stay the course. I mean, Shane Waldron lost his opportunity to claim the job when he ran the speed option against the Colts, and then he handed the ball to a backup lineman against the Commanders. I mean, this is not somebody who – represented himself very well. So I think you understand why this move was made. You stay the course and you keep on banging your head against the wall. I mean, you're waiting for something different to happen. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but there's nobody in Chicago thinking this is an overreaction.
Do you think Matt Eberflus didn't have the ability to veto that play against Washington? Do you think he didn't have an opportunity in the headset to say, no, what the hell are you doing, Shane? Give your head a shake. We're not running that play here. The head coach is responsible for everything. My point
well, they're not
is
firing
this.
Him, though. They need to respond
well,
some
that's
way.
My point.
Not now.
If you're going to do anything at this point, fire the coach.
Yeah.
Because firing the offensive coordinator isn't going to make it better. Tell me, how is it going to get better? I'm not defending Shane Waldron. I'm just being realistic. How is it going to get better? By firing Shane Waldron and picking a guy from his staff who's part of the problem and saying, now you run the show.
Well, I think, again, I don't know if he was part of the problem. I think the weird element here is that the Bears drafted the first overall pick, and now they got a guy that's going to take over play calling as he did a year ago for the first overall pick.
That's a
Carolina.
Weird coincidence.
Isn't that really odd?
But you talk all the time about accountability. This is accountability. You don't do your job, you get fired. I mean, this is something that I think Matt Eberflus has not had many good moments this year as a head coach. This is one of them. He didn't handle yesterday well, but he needed to do this today. It's a start.
Well, it's a start, but it is just one step closer to the end. That's the reality.
Yep.
And look, I say this all the time, and I mean nothing but respect to the McCaskies. Bad teams flow from bad ownership, and the ownership has to be willing to provide the direction in moments like this. And if the ownership isn't going to do it, then the team president has to do it. But I just think that it's a reaction. It's not an overreaction. It's a reaction fueled by circumstances that create an expectation there will be a reaction. Because 4-5 isn't good enough. Because we let people think we were going to be great this year. Look at, in Minnesota, Vikings fans are mad at me because I'm saying, hey, the ceiling this year is the divisional round. There's no way they're getting past the divisional round if they even get that far. And the Vikings fans are like, well, so what? It's more than we ever expected. We were supposed to be horrible this year. Crafting that narrative heading into the season is so critical. And the Bears embraced it because it sells.
Think big, though. What do you want them to do? Think small? We're going to be in fourth place this year?
All I'm saying is, when you embrace those expectations, 4-5 looks a lot worse than it would if the expectations were, we're going to be ass this year. 4-5 looks pretty damn good. If those are the expectations.
Okay. Execution's a problem. Having expectations is not the problem. You want teams to go in to the season with ambition. You want them to be bold like that.
That's two different things. Internal ambition and external expectations are two different things. And Devin McCourty had a great quote about the sign that's on the way in the door and the sign that's on the way out the door in New England under Bill Belichick. But it's all about ignoring the hype and managing the expectations. That's the key. The Bears did a bad job of managing external expectations. Internally, you can have all the ambition in the world. You just don't need to lean into this idea that all of a sudden the Bears are going to show up and get to the Super Bowl. I think that's part of the problem. It's not all of it, but that's one of the ingredients that creates this idea that we want a pound of flesh now because we're disappointed because the Bears are 4-5. So they need to do something to make us think they give a crap. I almost said the other word. That is where it becomes a problem because, again, tell me how it's going to get better. Who's going to come in and make it better?
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. Good, fun stuff from Mike, as always. And we're going to get into this. We're going to talk to our buddy Jarrett Payton in a little bit. We're going to continue with the phone calls. A lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
There's no sugarcoating it. For us, it's been a roller coaster covering it. It's a roller coaster within the building. Remove Shane Waldron from his play calling duties. And now what's happening this week, you guys, is Thomas Brown is sitting down with Caleb Williams and getting inside of his head.
Former WNBA star.
Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Collins.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacey Dales, as we do every week. And like all our guests, she's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mully and Haw. Did you guys hear the Sky hired a new head coach?
Yeah, no, yes. Wasn't you? Yes. What happened with that?
I'm going to protest. It wasn't me.
I thought it was going to be you all the time.
Yeah, Tyler Marsh. Now I don't have to take the criticisms of a head coach.
Now, let's talk about that for a second, because if I'm not mistaken, they're playing at that the arena right down there by where the convention is, and they're going to build a new Michael Reese area. We're going to throw up a dome over there. I mean, things are just happening everywhere.
Yeah. By the time they're doing that, though, Mully, Stacey will have coached the Sky and been fired.
Who knows? Hopefully it works out for the Sky, but there's you know, we're currently in the middle of the NFL season, and you guys know me, I'm not a pile-on person, so it's really been tough to see, you know, the Sky falling in a different way in Chicago, because I do live here, and I do feel for people in these circumstances, because this is a business, and what's transpired is really sort of, I think unconscionable is probably too strong of a word, but just when I consider the trajectory and then, you know, sort of this plateau we've seen since the bye, it's just very surprising what's transpired.
But Stacey, we talked last week and you were very much on point with the fact that Shane Waldron was not getting the job done. So I don't want to speak for you, but my sense is you probably weren't that surprised that this move was made, especially after last Sunday's outcome. The question would be, how much confidence do you have in Thomas Brown now making any kind of changes in the offense being different?
Well, they're different styles. They're different personalities. So if anything, you hope that he can, institute some sort of a spark, which we've heard from the players. And, you know, you'll hear people talk about just how competitive Thomas Brown is. There's just so many layers to this. Like, everything was on the table. When you go from an offense that, you know, it pumped the brakes a little bit. Like, I go all the way back to training. This is layered. Yeah. I go back to training camp. When your number one competition is the center competition within your offense, that is very problematic. I rest my case when I look around the league and I see, in order of grades, Creed Humphrey, Frank Ragnow, and Tyler Linderbaum. One of those guys, the first guy I mentioned, is a second-round pick. That is Patrick Mahomes, hands the ball to him. The other two are first-round picks. Frank Ragnow does so many things at the line of scrimmage. I don't know how to explain to people what centers do. Let's bring Olin on right now, because what they do, what Frank is doing, I was on the phone with Graham Glasgow, and I've covered the Lions a few times this season, and they are the best team right now in the NFC. He could not overstate to me the magnitude of Frank Ragnow for Jared Goff in their offense. They arguably have the best offensive line in the National Football League. The Baltimore Ravens, I mentioned Tyler Linderbaum. I mean, you got a quarterback flying around in the backfield and all over the field, and you got a running back in Derrick Henry. Imagine what he's calling at the line of scrimmage. Frank Ragnow, Glasgow, told me it's wrinkles upon wrinkles upon wrinkles upon wrinkles as far as what he does for that offense. So I say that because we had a center competition back in training camp. And that, you know, that is something that will have to be addressed. To me, that's the most important part of the offensive line. And then you go to your tackles, of course, but that's just my opinion. Now you go to the game in London, right? Caleb throws masterfully four touchdowns. I was standing on the sidelines. They did play the worst passing defense in the Jacksonville Jaguars in the NFL, giving up more yards at that time than any team defensively, I believe. So it was, as we were called after together on the air, it was a game you should win, and you did it with, you know, convincing fashion. And that was a win to me for Chicago going into the bye. And then you come out of the bye, and that's where things got just underwhelmingly surprising. They've averaged 9 points per game since their bye week,
yeah,
which is the lowest in the league through weeks 8 to 10. The pass yards are at 156 per game. They have no touchdowns. Caleb hasn't thrown a touchdown. And so there is a disconnect. And I trust a lot of my guys around the league who break down tape. And I actually was contacted yesterday, reverse fashion, what's going on in Chicago? And I just know that everything was on the table this week. And that's what you have to look at when you've gone 23 possessions without scoring any points. And I think the decision came down to Shane Waldron because of maybe the disconnect with the quarterback. And they're hoping, as I heard the clip you guys played coming in, and I was on air last night, you know, Thomas Brown can get in his mind a little bit, understand what he wants, what he's truly comfortable with, without having to dumb this thing down, and then alter the concepts. What are the concepts? That was the biggest takeaway from my conversations yesterday around the league. Like the concept, some of the concepts they're doing in Washington with Jaden right now, they make the game a little bit easier for him. And I will never stop saying how hard it is for rookie quarterbacks. I've talked to a handful of fellas from the Carolina team last year with Bryce Young. And there isn't enough time in the day, in the week, in the plan preceding game day to get a rookie quarterback prepared fast enough or ready enough. And it's baptism by fire.
Okay, we have breaking news. Breaking news on 670 The Score, presented by BetQL Smarter Bets. Start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. The Bears have released Nate Davis, the well-paid guard / no-play player.
Think about that. They dressed seven offensive linemen on Sunday, and they are have a depth problem on the offensive line, and they released Nate Davis today, the day after firing Shane Waldron.
Yeah. Well, to me, without knowing, and I'm speculating, and I will be at Hallis Hall shortly, that's not a surprise.
No. Surprise he lasted this long, frankly, because he's
been... He should have done it weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, I'm gonna make a statement,
but maybe the final move was when they activated him. They knew he had him practice. They knew they needed him last week, and he showed up with a back injury. And then they...
Back injury, air quotes.
Yeah, I mean, then they sent him home and didn't want him standing around all day.
Didn't want him hanging around.
Listen, I mean, you know, at that point, if you weren't wondering, why is that guy on the team? And it's sunk money. There's nothing you can do about it. You gave him the contract, and he'll walk away, I think, with $22 million after all is said and done for the three-year deal, which ends up being 2 years. So not even two, 1.5 years.
Big miss by Ryan Poles.
Big miss.
Yeah, and GMs miss, unfortunately. Yep. And if I had my guess, if I were to bump into Ryan Poles right now, he's freaking pissed. He's pissed, and he should be. There's no sugarcoating what's gone on. And these are the types of things that happen when you it's not just about underachieving. It's about like having guys loafing on a consistent basis, because you guys had Jalen Johnson. I saw some of the great clips from the Score coverage earlier this week. And I thought one of my followers on Twitter was really actually onto something. Like, yeah, but extraordinary players do work hard. Do you think Michael Jordan was like the hardest worker on the court? Hell yeah, he was. The late great Kobe was the hardest worker. Like, you're going to see that they're gym rats, right? Caitlin Clark's a gym rat. Tom Brady's a gym rat. He's gotten so much better on TV just over the course of 9 weeks. Like, great players do that. Jalen Johnson is a great player. I think he's fantastic. So, yeah, you're going to see players around you that aren't up to speed like you. But when you got loafers on a consistent basis, you're like, yo, man, that ain't cool in this culture. And I think, shoot, Ryan Poles probably just had enough of it. But they got some serious things to address within that building. There's no question about it. And hopefully Thomas Brown can ignite something in them.
I think you're onto something, though, with Ryan Poles. It's very interesting. I wonder what the level of discussions were. I wonder who the conversations were with. Because in the last 48 hours, we saw Ryan Poles essentially overrule Matt Eberflus to fire Shane Waldron and now release Nate Davis. He came to work this week committed to correcting his mistakes.
Like not
those
wanting,
are two mistakes.
Not wanting to look at people either, right? You're not going to keep someone around. It's time. Just get out. Go. Yeah. Don't want you coming in here. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say this. This isn't an indictment on human beings. This business, like, this is an emergency. We're not saving lives. These aren't first responders, but it is a big, big business, and it is a results-oriented business, and it sucks because you get to know people, and they're really great. There are really great people that do this that aren't winning football games, and so you take that into account. But like at a certain point, you are the GM, and you know, to me, for to say all the things were on the table, right? What does that mean? Are we going to keep Shane Waldron? Who would be the offensive play caller? Are we going to go to our Paskin coordinator and Thomas Brown, who actually took over in 9 games for the Panthers last season in place of Frank Reich, who ultimately was fired? And they still had the worst passing offense in football in Carolina. And Bryce Young actually was benched this year for Andy Dalton, right? So it took them a year and a half to bench Bryce Young. Now, I'm not calling for guys to get benched, but it's hard as a rookie. So everything is on the table. You have to talk about everything. That's brainstorming. That is what teams have to do to find answers. I never thought Caleb wouldn't be the starter this week against the Green Bay Packers. I just thought when you have a fan base that's like this and you're inside that building and your quarterback isn't comfortable. Now, whether Caleb is not executing to their standard, right? He has held the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has missed on a couple guys, but are the receivers always open? You know, my conversations yesterday, there are so many issues. And I say that because I really take the time to talk to analysts who played the game and have broken down the tape. And I watch the tape too. I always watch the Bears game back because I do this and I want to see it again. And you know, from the offensive line, some issues, obviously, we've seen. That's a no-brainer with all the injuries. To the timing on routes, the quarterback's drop. You know, there's a reason the Bears went to the wristband. Now, everybody say, well, everybody uses a wristband. Of course. But they were going to it exclusively because it saves them time for Caleb to get the play call to his offensive line and get to the line of scrimmage. When you orchestrate that play and you deliver it in the huddle, you got to get up to the line of scrimmage. All of that takes time. And for a rookie quarterback who's never done it, it's really hard. Ask one of them. It's hard. They might not admit it to you, but it's hard. So all of that operation, they've had to try to fix. The fact that he didn't have a first 15 and a player had to go tell him to have a first 15, Mercedes Lewis.
Right.
I don't care about what the first 15 is. I don't care about what the first 20 is. I don't care about what the first 25 is, which is what Kyle does in San Francisco. I care that the quarterback has some semblance of conviction to start the game, especially when he's a rookie. So, and then I care mostly about the player that has to go to the coach and tell the coach that. It should be the other, like, I don't understand that. I mean, when I started with the Sky many years ago as a rookie, I loved our coaches. They were so nice, but they didn't do scouting reports. I don't think I've ever shared this, but like I started doing scouting reports because I didn't know how to go to the coaches and say, hey, we need some scouting reports. So I started putting them in my teammates' lockers. I only share that because, and our coaches were like, oh yeah. Like, because it was new for everybody. The WNBA was new for, you know, that set of coaches, and that's cool. That's okay. We all learn together, but it wasn't a good season. I don't remember how many games we won, and it's not an indictment again on those people. It's just that, you know, things happen on teams that you have to learn along the way. And I think the Bears, going back to the Bears, I think they've been learning this thing along the way with their rookie quarterback. And he's right now lost. I don't want to say he has, because I have to let him say it. He's appeared to have lost some confidence, and he has appeared to be tentative, which means you hold on to the ball. And I'm sure there's arguments on both sides, which is why I said consternation, that maybe he's not executing, but maybe he doesn't like the concepts, and maybe if they change the concepts, he could be a little bit more comfortable, and maybe you hit DJ Moore on a third and whatever it is for a first down when he's wide open. So there's a lot at play, and there's a lot of parties involved where things aren't working, and now we're seeing some shakeups at Hallis.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. And, yeah, I think that you're right. You know, we were talking about it, Stacey, this idea that the one thing that Caleb doesn't do is throw interceptions. Why is throwing an interception so bad? I'm sadly now concluding that it is more about tentative play than it is about protecting the ball. Like, he's, yeah, you know, don't be afraid to throw a pick, try to make a play. And I think that, unfortunately, the situation they're in has made him tentative, and it's a really bad habit.
Yeah, it is. And it's a conversation we can all continue to have ad nauseum, because we all know the game better than anybody, right? I'm not standing out there as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. So I have respect for it. It's hard. It's hard to find perfect blends on teams of coaching. Ben Johnson has been in this Detroit, you know, evolution for a number of years, and wanted to stay because he's got something extremely special with this group now, like 3 years, what, with Goff calling plays. And it's like a fine, it's a well-oiled machine. The pH balance is perfect. There's just so many things to like about it, but you've got to find that perfect blend. It's hard to do in the National Football League. It is. And with the way things are now and the way players move, and it is hard to do. But I would say, you know, when you start hearing players, like, I'm always very, I hate the pylon. I hate it.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks. But when the players start telling you, like Cole Kmet came out and said, we've regressed.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say then?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it has happened. They're aware of it. I think Poles is going to take accountability, because I think he's a stand-up guy. I really do. And I think you can swing and miss on things, and it happens in the league. And, you know, when the results happen, we're the first to point out, oh, you guys should have done this. Like, you know, hindsight, whatever, 50-50. The bottom line is now, Thomas Brown has to figure out a way to develop trust with his quarterback. I just don't think there was a great deal of trust. I wish Shane Waldron totally the best. Like, it sucks for him.
He'll be okay. He's walking away with
$5
million.
And when somebody has to go, it's usually that guy. But,
that's right.
You know, but, there's a lot. There's still a lot of season to be played. Unfortunately, it's the most lethal schedule you can imagine with every divisional game to come, not to mention you know, pretty good division out there in the west of the NFC.
Great stuff, Stacey. Great catching up with you. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Stacey.
Yep. See you guys.
That is Stacey Dales. She'll be on the game on
Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yeah. Packers Bears at Soldier Field for the NFL Network.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jarrett, good morning. Wow. Good morning. Man, you live in interesting times.
Good morning, fellas. I mean, what a time to be alive as a Bears fan right now. I mean, I was yesterday, I kind of heard that this was coming. I knew it wasn't going to happen yesterday, but I overheard some news that it was going to happen today. I didn't know it was going to happen early this morning that Shane Waldron was going to be relieved of his duties, but it was not a surprise.
Who is Thomas Brown? How well do you know him, and what should we expect?
Don't know him personally. Know he spent some time in Miami for a couple of seasons at the University of Miami. Everything about him, though, just reading up on him. I mean, anytime that you have a chance to be underneath Sean McVay and that he has your confidence, I think you learned a lot. He's a relationships guy. He's all about figuring out his guys. He's also a former running back as well, and so I think with this new opportunity for him, he is going to take advantage of it. I don't think he's going to overdo it. I listened to you guys a little bit earlier just about, you know, this is the opportunity. You want to show what you can do. I think he understands the task at hand. And I think he is going to simplify this just a little bit more for Caleb Williams and this offense the way that it is. And do the one thing that is definitely going to help out Caleb, which they should have been doing for the whole season, and that's figuring out a way to run the football and be more consistent with the run game.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they want to spin all of it, right? And the proof is in the pudding. What they actually do come the Packer game will tell us a lot, but man, I mean, Flusi is in a very interesting position. He's now gone through two offensive coordinators, and he's 3 years in, 2.5 years in. Do you get to another year? Is this bail you out? Does this save your career as a head coach? And I'm very curious to see if he takes a step back as a defensive coordinator, because you want all eyes. You want your head coach to know what the heck's going on offense.
I mean, definitely, Mully. It comes down to it. I mean, this is crunch time for Matt Eberflus. He's feeling the heat. You can just tell every single time he gets up at that podium, just the pressure that is on him. And I get that, but that's a part of the job. That's a part of being a head coach in the NFL. A lot of it relies on your shoulders. You got to figure out a way to be the CEO of the organization, and you know you're spread thin a little bit. But when you are also the defensive coordinator and you are calling plays, sometimes you forget what's going on with your surroundings. So to me, it's really about your situational awareness. Can you know what's going on and have your hand in a little bit of everything? But also, for me, it probably would be step back a little bit and change things up. But I believe in my heart, why give up the play calling when that's what saved your job? You know, last season. I think that's hard. And as of what we've seen so far, it's been hard for Matt Eberflus to kind of get out of his own way.
So you are Thomas Brown. You take over play calling duties for an offense that is essentially using backup offensive linemen. You don't get any better up front necessarily. What can you do from a game plan perspective to give yourself a better chance to beat the Packers?
Well, I know I'm going to sound redundant here, Haw, but the way that everything is, I don't know how much he can actually change. I mean, the game plan is, I mean, you can change things up a little bit. I think scale back a little bit. The hardest part is from what we saw from Shane Waldron throughout the last, all season, but even the last few weeks of watching the film, man, it just seems like this offense was truly broken. No rhythm at all. And it's weird because yesterday, you know, I was driving home from St. Louis on Sunday, so I was listening on the radio call, guys, and then yesterday I was sitting down watching most of the game in the morning, and my daughter, who's 8 years old, just started to play flag football. This is her second year playing flag football. There was a throw down the field on the left side of the field to Roma Dunze, and Cole Kmet was in that same area. The ball was overthrown, and my daughter looked at me at 8 years old and says, "Dad, are those two guys supposed to be that close on the same team?" I said, "You know what, girl? You are super smart." Nah, that, it doesn't look good. And we see that a lot.
Yeah.
Way that this with the play design with Shane Waldron and how he was calling plays, where it would be hard for me if you're telling me, and I don't know if this was being told to Caleb Williams, to not throw interceptions, not throw picks, but you have guys in the same area, so they're tighter throws. Mm-hmm. You don't want to throw picks, but then also everything is so congested on route combinations with, you know, dual routes. It's weird for me. To me, make sure that if you're going to commit to the run game, that your run game and your plays off of your pass game plays off of your run game. Making sure that things look the exact same. So commit to something, whether it's going to be run inside or outside zone. If Roshan gives you a better opportunity of running inside, and that's what's going to work, but then play off of that run. And I heard Coach Wanstead talking about it. I mean, just seeing what the Patriots did to you on Sunday, try to find a way to mirror that, because Drake May looked very comfortable. They were running outside zone. Next thing you know, boots coming back around, and you got tight ends crossing the field on over routes, and then next thing you know, boom, you're hitting them and you're getting explosive plays. So not to do all these wide receiver screens, throw those out the window, run the football, play action, take some shots when you get an opportunity. And I think good offensive coordinators find a way to be able to scheme even when you don't have the help up front, a good stable offensive line. I'm not really going to say that. Thomas Brown's been in that situation where he's called offensive play calls, but I'm not asking him out the gate. So to do that, he's just going to have to be smart and take what's given to him and hopefully find a way to collaborate with Caleb Williams as well, because that seemed like there was a disconnect between Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron. And I don't know how you can go and get a number one overall pick and you want to, as we keep talking about this all the time, catering to what he wanted. I mean, you see it in the game where he's got a lot of say so in what goes on. You right. can tell by when he's on the football field, right? To me, the Roma Dunze pick, that was to make Caleb feel even more comfortable coming to Chicago. But then you go and get an offensive coordinator who has no real connection with him. Doesn't make sense to me. Does not make sense to me. If you're catering to Caleb Williams' needs, why wasn't there someone there that he felt comfortable with? They missed a step on that one.
There's another story out there, which is, of course, that the Bears have shifted once again. They're looking now at the Michael Reese, according to Crane's Chicago Business. They've got a story saying that the Bears are now eyeballing the Michael Reese vacancy and maybe trying to rework their downtown dome as opposed to Arlington Heights. What was your take on that story? What do you think about that? I mean, are you surprised to hear them now? I mean, it wasn't going to sell at the museum campus. It wasn't.
Molly, I'm going to tell you something, you and David something, and then all these listeners out here. I heard you guys talking about this earlier. I could care less right now about a stadium. Means nothing to me at this moment. Figuring out what's going on inside of that locker room in Hallis Hall and up at Hallis Hall is what's most important right now. I could care less where you're playing football. If it's in this new place, if it's in Arlington Heights, if it's at Soldier Field, we got bigger fish to fry right now. I've literally been waiting to say this because I heard you guys. I've been up early listening to you guys, and I was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for my son and my daughter to go to school, and I'm just like,
crust on or crust off?
Crust on.
Okay.
Even though my son doesn't eat the crust anymore, he still won't eat it. But I'm like, I'm making these peanut butter jelly sandwiches going, nah, man, I could care less about a stadium. Great news. Figure all that out. But what we need, what they need to figure out is what's going on inside of that building. They got to get it right. Because I said it yesterday in my post. If there's anybody that loves this team, this organization, it's me, who wants to see them succeed. It's me. I want them to be good. I want sustained success. But also, when it comes down to it, who are we as an organization? That's what I posed to everybody. Who are we? Because when I started to think about the things that we go back on our history and the tradition and the passion in this city, and we always go back to 85, you can throw in 06. And when you look at those teams and what they were built on, it was built on a defense that was, both defenses were good, and an offensive line and a run game that could take over the game and run the ball down your throat when you need to. And I said, it's not rocket science. We are not living up to the standard of what came before us. And then I was talking to my buddies on the phone and I said, this isn't us. And then I had to check myself and say, what do you mean, Jarrett? This is not us. This is who we've been for over the year. This is who we've been. We have to find a way to be able to change the narrative. And that is on the football field. You have to find a way. This division is getting better. We were supposed to dominate and take over the North, and we haven't. We're still far from that. And so the stadium talk is all good. I'm going to leave that up to Kevin Warren to figure that part out if you want to. But we also have to figure out what's going on inside that building and get it right so this organization can be where we all hoped it was going to be before the season started. Before the season started, we were all talking about this team as we were like, man, the moves made, we are going to the playoff. It's a playoff team. Look how far we have gotten from that. Now we're just talking about, can we find a way to win, get a win, or maybe two wins on the back end of this schedule, which we all knew was going to be tough. So as much as the stadium talk is out there, and I'll have to talk about it on WGN at some point today, to me, it's what's not important. What's important is fixing what we need to fix with our football team.
Great stuff, Jarrett.
Thanks, appreciate Jarrett. The time. Appreciate it, man.
Good stuff.
Appreciate you guys.
That is Jarrett Payton.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well. Curious here and curious, sir. The Bears keep going through this football season, and now they've made the move, and Thomas Graham is the man, and he was introduced yesterday, and impressive guy. Much better at the podium. Don't know how he'll be as a play caller, but significantly better than Shane Waldron was at the podium.
Yeah, and I think he's better in front of the room as a whole when you talk about what really matters when he's talking, and that's standing in front of the offense in the meeting room and having a presence and being dynamic, because, you know, it's a significant part of the coordinator's job on either side of the ball is selling the vision and selling the game plan and getting buy-in from the players. Like, if you go through that process and you don't have buy-in from them, it's going to be difficult to get to Sunday and be sharp and look good and execute at a high level. He's a guy that is dynamic in front of the players. I think he can energize them in the meeting room. I think he will have their focus. Now, what will that mean in terms of execution, production, and performance? That remains to be seen, but he's a completely different guy, and they need to flip the switch on this, right? There's eight games to go. This isn't three games to go where it's the season's completely dead. Like, they've got a chance to do something here to make some noise in the division, but it's got to happen almost immediately.
Brad, I want to get your reaction to what I termed earlier the quote of the year, and it came from Keenan Allen, and to me, it implicates everything and everybody and talks about and speaks to just the lack of a standard at Hallis Hall. This is what Keenan Allen had to say yesterday.
For me, I'd probably say just probably too nice of a guy. I think OTAs, training camp, we kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable, and obviously those things get into a little slippery slope.
So what types of things are you talking about?
Just being, kind of professionalism, just doing things the right way from the beginning.
That was Keenan Allen on Shane Waldron. Brad, what was your reaction?
Well, I don't know how much OTAs Keenan was at, but they probably got attendance records somewhere at Hallis Hall on that. But yeah, and I mean, that, like, listen, the players were ready for a change before Monday, right? Like, and what'd you hear them talk about all along? Like, the details and the details. Well, what can slip when that happens? They made the wrong choice, which is really, I mean, it's just hard to believe. They talked to nine guys, and he's the only guy that gets a second interview. It's confusing to me. Clearly, there was some type of flaw in the process, right, to get to him. But
was there a process? This is the question. Like, they brought people in. Exactly. Was this a prearranged marriage?
They flew all over the country.
Right,
they flew all over the country. And they brought one guy in.
So is this – did Trace pick their offensive coordinator
for them?
And was one of the prerequisites a guy that was not good enough in front of the room that he looked like a head coach?
I don't worry about that one quite as much because it's really rare when you see the head coach dumped and his replacement come in house. Like, that doesn't happen very often. It certainly, one instance I can recall was in Tampa when the Bucks got rid of Lovie Smith and Dirk Cutter became the head coach, but I don't think that's a real thing that people worry about, because if you're at a point generally where the head coach has got to go, then pretty much everybody's going.
Brad, I'm curious about the reports out there about players going to Matt Eberflus and veteran players wanting the quarterback replaced. I mean, mother of God.
I don't believe that happened. I don't think there's a story there.
Okay.
Well, the story from Caleb Williams yesterday, he sounded like a guy pretty serious. He sounded like a guy who had his confidence maybe beaten down a little bit. Brad, what did you make of the way that he handled this change, and what effect do you think it might have on his performance?
I think he handled it well. He's basically like, hey, I've got a job to do, right? And I've got to go out and do it. And he's a rookie, and he can't afford to focus on anything other than doing his job. I think there's a possibility that if Caleb's energized and everybody around him is energized, that they can get some more even performances from him, that they can get back to it. You're looking at it and you're saying, okay, yeah, I can see this. Because listen, the guy's got a world of talent. No one is going to dispute that. What would I expect Thomas Brown to potentially do? Talking to people who worked with him in Carolina, you could see some half-field reads where they're getting him on the move a little bit. You could, because they don't want to have the quarterback in the same spot the whole time, or at least Thomas didn't. a year ago with Bryce Young, which, like, that experience didn't go well for the Panthers or Bryce or Thomas or really anyone involved. But hopefully he learned some things in doing that that can be applied here as well. So I think we'll see some better performances from Caleb. They've got to find a way to protect him. You know, I thought one thing Thomas said that was interesting yesterday, guys, was, you know, trying to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and then when the moment's right, allowing him to take advantage of his unique gifts and abilities, right? And hopefully take some of the heat off him with all these sacks.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by S-Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, S-Wing.com. Big Z, the injury report came out. I'm a huge fan, and I think it's been very determinant of what is going to happen in a few of these games this year. It was good to see both tackles back, albeit in a limited process. What was your take on what you saw out of the injury report? I mean, obviously, huge red flag if Montez Sweat can't play or is slowed or is not at his full strength against Green Bay.
Yeah, the Sweat thing you got to keep an eye on. But I think he finished the game last week, so today – you know, I saw the Sweat thing yesterday. I'm like, oh, okay, but today should be a little more revealing on that. I firmly believe both offensive tackles are tracking to start in this game, with Braxton having missed the last two games and Darnell missing the one. And then, you know, Tevin Jenkins, I like, you can't, you're that's hazardous to try to figure out what's going on with him health-wise, because it's just the guy's always got something, right? So hopefully he's well enough to play on Sunday, but the availability piece with him is something that has really marked his first four seasons in the league with the Bears.
So, Brett, I'm going to go back to this big picture idea that getting rid of Shane Waldron and elevating Thomas Brown, what it all represents. Because I think when you look at the process that we have criticized now, and you look at this week, which is the wrath of Ryan Poles, when he fires the handpicked offensive coordinator and he cuts Nate Davis, are we going to hear from him? Why haven't we so far? Because we can talk all we want about Matt Eberflus and how shaky he is at the microphone and how this is his eighth assistant coach has either resigned or been fired in the last 15 months. But I would like to hear from the man who hired Matt Eberflus and retained him this year, because eventually that's where this all is headed. Accountability is a word. Yes, there are consequences that we're seeing this week, but it doesn't stop at Matt Eberflus. I think it goes higher than that, and I'd like to hear from Ryan Poles. When will we?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't believe that he'll chat this week. I think he's been pretty straightforward about some of the things that haven't worked previously, right? Like, you know, they traded for Chase Claypool and they dumped him, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to wear that one, you know? And I think if he was to talk today, he would be candid about how things didn't work out for Nate Davis. But these guys, you know what they need to do? They need to find a way to get the focus on the football field, you know? Like, they had the fallout in Washington at the end of that, and all the crap for them that much of it self-created,
yep,
that followed. Like, they haven't been able to keep the focus on, like, hey, we're playing the Packers Sunday or that type of thing. And it's not unusual for general managers to not have media availabilities in season. So I don't think this is like polls is being evasive.
They're in crisis mode. They're in full-fledged crisis mode, though, Brad.
Right, and I'm just spinning this around. Like, they're still going to be in crisis mode if polls comes out and takes questions, right? Like, if he comes out and takes questions, is that going to change anything, you know?
So Nate Davis is cut. I mean, that's interesting just because the timing.
Addition by subtraction.
And that's fine, and I got no problem with that. But does that mean that he was actually healthy and he just didn't want to play when he showed up at Soldier Field on Sunday? Or hurt? Or, you know what I mean? Not that I care.
Yeah.
But I really want to talk about his roster spot and the idea that, you know, Jay Curran now moves to the roster, and you've signed Ricky Stromberg, former third round pick. Yeah, and a guy the Bears had in here, I believe, before the draft. He was a third round pick by Washington in 2023, and I talked to a guy out there and said that they were just stunned that he couldn't play, and they didn't think he could play. So that's the reason that they let him go. What do you know about him? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, the Bears could use a center. I guess what I'm saying. And if they'd use Stromberg's picking him, yeah.
Yeah, Stromberg's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And he's coming off multiple knee injuries. He had an injury to his kneecap last season as a rookie. And then it was like a cartilage issue that was near the knee that they had to clean up back before the start of the season. So he got waived with an injury settlement by the Commanders. It was about an 8-week deal. So it took him a while to heal up. So he's just on the practice squad now. Like, that's a long play. I don't think you're looking
right.
at
it's a
that
future,
guy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're,
it's
you're,
for next year's you're, camp. You're getting there early.
Right, exactly, and next year's camp.
Who's going to be here for next year's camp?
Well, learning a new offense.
Apparently polls.
Maybe.
But, the Nate Davis thing, it could have just been some spasms on Sunday. It could have been Nate wasn't interested in putting on a uniform. I don't know. Like, you don't need some final straw thing on Sunday to be an indictment of Nate Davis's football character, right? That was lacking. And the shame of it is the team, like, really kind of stepped up and backed him at every turn. Remember the beginning of last year, his mother passed away, and he was out for, I believe it was the Week 2 game. Totally understandable, right? Like, just had a death in the family. He's taking care of family business. He's not going to play football on Sunday. Comes back the next week and asks for another game off. And, I don't want to minimize the grief process for anyone in a situation like that, but two consecutive Sundays off in an NFL season is a highly unusual ask by a player, and the team fully backed him. Like everything's all right. We totally support Nate. And at the end of what was a poor season for him on the field, they backed him. We think he's going to bounce back. We like him here. He was the unquestioned starter. You know, they backed him at every turn, and I don't think he really reciprocated much at all.
Yeah, it's sunk cost week at Halas Hall because what was that? $20 million, $15 million that he...
Yeah, I mean, the guarantee on his contract was just above 19, yeah.
Yeah, and Shane Waldron gets 5 to walk away. I wonder,
wow.
You know, this is the great purge, the great midseason purge, too little, too late, because I just don't know. I mean, Brad, there could be a bounce. They could play better offensively. Packers are good. They're going to come into town with a defense that you could say arguably is better than the Bears, are playing at a higher level right now because of the takeaways. I just think this is trending in the wrong direction. Maybe they get some. What's the value of momentum this week heading into the Packers game?
Well, the hope here is the Bears can, you know, and they've been, the problem is they've been circling the wagon so much. I think they're dizzy,
they're
right?
Dizzy.
It seems like that's what they've been
We're
doing.
Dizzy.
But yeah, maybe they kind of pull together here and catch Green Bay off guard because they've played so poorly. Like you can understand some of the Green Bay players that aren't experienced vets understanding how the NFL works and like maybe taking them lightly. I don't know. Like that would be something the Bears would have to hope is going to happen in this situation. Just looking at the football game, my concern for the Bears is going to be stopping the run because Matt LaFleur has dialed that up big time during a number of meetings since he took over as the head coach up there, and I think it was 2019. And with that being kind of a problem area for the Bears, they were a little bit better against New England, but I think the Patriots have a better the Packers have a better rushing attack. Like, can the Bears stop that? Because if Green Bay can come in and run it when the Packers want to, I mean, that's going to open up a world of stuff for Jordan Love, and it could be a long afternoon.
Bigsy, we'll let you go. Jaquan Brisker out again this week, and, you know, you just worry about the guy. It's been a long time. Do you think he plays this year? Is that too abrupt a question?
I hate to venture a guess on head injuries.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, there's half a season left.
Yep.
Like you think about it, the Bears are making this change and they've had some crisis, no question about it. And you're looking at it and you're saying, well, when's this going to end? And then you step back and you're like, holy smokes. I mean, they got 8 games. That's half a football season is remaining. So I would not by any stretch of the imagination rule out seeing Jaquan Brisker on the field at some point. Like if they thought this was, you know, he definitely wasn't going to be on the field, they obviously would have placed him on IR by now.
All right, Bigsy, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. That is Brad Biggs.
Knowing how competitive you are, caring about the mm-hmm. defense and the offense, was a change needed on the offense?
What does that got to do with my competitiveness?
Just because you want to win, so you're looking at all different parts of the team, that you're invested in the offense, you're invested in the defense, because it matters.
I mean, I want to win. So, I mean, quite frankly, I didn't give a damn who's the coach or the OC. I mean, if we win the games, we win the games.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. You can't play gotcha with
how was that gotcha?
Soon-to-be Pro Bowl cornerback.
That was a fair question.
David's favorite player.
That was a fair Jaylen question. Johnson. I like Jalen Johnson. He does a tremendous job. Mark Grody asked a good question. Jalen Johnson went that way with the answer.
You like Johnson. Reasons. I'm going with Grody.
I'm going with Grody. I'm Team Grody all the way.
Grody time.
Here's the word I use because I talked about this with some of the other reporters that were involved in that. Like, I wasn't mad. I was like, that was unnecessary.
It was.
That was unnecessary. Like, I think, and I was talking about this with Weederer. I mean, he just, Jalen Johnson just, especially with the core reporters that are there every day, and I would be one of those, he does like to challenge us. And usually he's on point. That one I thought was unnecessary. I'm calling you You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mark Grody joins us on the Turo Hotline, your all-weather tire at Turo.com. And Mark, I guess as I look at this game, David and I, we're depressing each other this morning because we can't come up with the winning game plan. We've spent some time. We knew there was going to be a change. We knew they needed our input. And yet we can't come up with the way in which the Bears win.
Well, boy, I hate that I'm coming to the show with this, but I have not figured it out either. How about this? How about in a fantasy? Thomas Brown is the offensive coordinator that Caleb Williams has always needed, and he unleashes him, and he's going deep on every play. No, I have already picked the Green Bay Packers to win this game. And honestly, you know what's scaring me the most about this game? Honestly, it's Josh Jacobs. It's Josh Jacobs that's scaring me the most, because there's just been too many. As much as we're focused on the offense, the Bears offense, it is, and it's justified, and I get it. I understand it. Some of the most jarring things that have happened to the Bears this year have been on explosive runs by opposing offenses, right?
You could not be more correct, Grody. He has 762 yards, and as I mentioned last segment, the Packers have 1,393 through nine games, the most they've had through nine games since 2003. So the Bears have to stop the run. Forget about the other drama. Forget about the trash talking. Forget about everything else. If the Bears don't stop the run, this is going to be a blowout.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at the Green Bay's offense in general, top 10 in points, top 10 in total yards, top 10 in passing yards, top 5 in rushing yards. Time of possession, they're good. So there's just a lot of areas, excuse me, that the Bears' defense needs to be concerned with, and you know, the Green Bay defense is to be reckoned with as well. I mean, if you want to flip it, Bears offense against their defense, I mean, they've got a lot of guys that have been around for a while that we're very familiar with, like Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark and Xavier McKinney, who's having an outstanding season. You mentioned the trash talk, but he has six sacks this year as well. Quay Walker, their weak side linebacker, really good. So that is the Green Bay Packers, unfortunately, are just a very complete team. And as the Bears go through this change and all of this, looking in the mirror, this is not the ideal. Or maybe it is. Maybe the Packers are the ideal opponent, because if they do win this game, the party's probably back on in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, I know how it works around here.
Look at the schedule.
I know.
That'll affect your party plans. Well,
no, I understand. Don't ruin my party. Don't ruin my party. Because the thing, if they win this game, that does a lot in terms of nobody's picking the Bears to win this game. I don't know. Maybe one of you guys have picked the Bears to win this game, but nobody's picking the Bears
to win this game. Thanks for listening.
They've lost. Oh, okay. Okay. See? I know. Hey, guess what? I listened to the pick six before I came on the radio here today, so don't take me there.
They've
lost 10 in a row against the Packers. The last time the Bears beat the Packers, I was on the sideline interviewing Tariq Cohen, because the Bears won the division in 2018 at the end of that year. And then there's been a slow slide of the Bears since. I mean, that was the beginning of the end of the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy era, when it just kind of declined a little bit. Obviously, you have the double doink, and then everything just spins out of control, and now here we are today. But a win would go a long way. And, you know, if they do beat the Packers because of how good this team is, then you start to look at that rough schedule and you say, maybe the Bears can be competitive, or maybe they can win some of those. So that's my positive spin, even though I have picked the Packers to win the game on Sunday.
This segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Mark, that's an interesting point that you make, that, you know, listen, we know the league. You win three in a row, and then you lose three in a row. And if they somehow get this game, maybe they can win three in a row and three unlikely wins in a row. But, I just think that the more I go over it and the more I go back to it, they have done a terrible job in the division. They've done a worse job with Green Bay than any team in the division. You feel like they could split with Minnesota, maybe. I'm talking about going into the year. You feel like they could maybe win one, or at least be competitive in one of the two against Detroit. But you're befuddled at how they're going to beat Green Bay. The Packers have had their number since the Flower got there.
The Flower, yes. Matt LaFleur, who, by the way, Jalen Johnson, very complimentary of the Flower yesterday, and has been in the past. He seems to really like the cut of his jib and the way he does business. This would all be fine. I mean, we knew this, Molly, coming into this season, how good this, well, maybe not necessarily Minnesota, but we knew the division was going to be jam-packed this year. What we didn't know was that the Bears were not going to hold up their end of the bargain when they got to this point. I mean, a lot of us, you know, being asked questions at the beginning of the year, can the Bears, who's the best quarterback in the division? And I thought Caleb Williams was in the picture for sure for potentially being that guy, and that the Bears would be in a competitive place at this point. I didn't think it was going to be easy. And even when things were going well for the Bears, I still said the Detroit is better, Green Bay is better, Minnesota might be better. But again, coming back to my point, we did not know that the Bears were going to hit this road bump that they've hit. Now, the last time they struggled so mightily this year was after that Indianapolis game. They did win three straight games. Those, of course, were lesser opponents, and it's fair to, you know, point that out. Rams, Jacksonville, and Carolina is a pretty easy row of teams. What they have coming up, Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, ain't so easy. So I don't know that you could just look at it and say, oh, it could be a similar situation.
This segment from Mark Grody is brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. It's been a loud week, Mark. What has been the thing that has echoed the loudest in your head? Somebody said something, somebody did something. What will you remember most about this week?
I think the very precise debunking of, or I don't know if debunking is the right word, when Cole Kmet came out and said he heard, basically volunteered to, well, not volunteered, but we kind of set him up for it, but he knew what we were talking about when we were asking about full support of Caleb Williams in the locker room, and the report that had gotten out that there were a couple players who were asking for maybe Tyson Bagent to be the quarterback and you sit Caleb Williams down, and basically Cole Kmet said, you know, that's just preposterous. He did say, hey, when things are going poorly, lots of things get sprayed out there. But I think that the underlying questions about Caleb Williams, while I don't know if it's fair or unfair, to me, even with the firing of the offensive coordinator and the hiring of Thomas Brown, that's been the most interesting stuff, or maybe disturbing stuff, just because of who I think Caleb Williams is and what I think he's going to be, and that is great on all accounts, but clearly there's a little bit of, you know, wonderment in terms of where Caleb Williams is, where he is going, because quite frankly, he has struggled pretty badly in the last 3 weeks. So that's the biggest thing that I think that I've taken away from all of this, even with everything going on. It still comes back to Caleb Williams.
Well, it does, and I think that it is preposterous because they couldn't do something like that. You can't bench the guy. You can't. You know, what you got to do, and I hope it starts this week, is maybe take some of the decision-making off the plate. Maybe don't have him getting to call his plays at the line of scrimmage, or, you know, have him run some plays. Figure out how to run the football. Figure out how to do some things without relying on the quarterback to read everything. And I wonder, can you think of what they do best on offense? If I asked you, what is the signature element of this team? What do they do best, and what can they do and repeat and wash and do again?
Yeah, no, there's nothing repeatable, Molly. I mean, it comes in spurts. I mean, sometimes, you know, I thought maybe after the Jacksonville game that, no, okay, the downfield passing game is there and it's really occurring. At times, DeAndre Swift looks good and the running game looks good. But no, I'm not going to sit here and just go through all this stuff. No, you're right, Molly. There is not a consistent, established identity on this team as
of yet.
How can
you get to that point in an NFL season?
It's crazy. How many games in? You are midway through
your
season. And nine games in, and your signature is invisible ink.
Well, and I guess we'll find out how bad of...
You can't... you're right. You can't name one thing.
No, I can't. And I was going to just give like a bogus hand, but I'm not going to.
You go bogus.
Go bogus. Go rogue, Brody. Go rogue.
Ramble on. I don't know. Throwing to Roma Dunze. He's had a couple hundred yard games.
Oh, keep rambling.
Maybe that's their ramble on. Maybe that's their identity. But I just really quickly, too, in terms of, I thought about that. Like, could Caleb Williams benefit from just a game off where they say, okay, you're going to take a game off, and then the next game you're going to play? And then I thought, wait a minute, that's ridiculous. That would cause like just so much noise from all of us, from everybody in the locker room, especially if Bajan was to have a good game. That would, no matter what, would do more harm than good at this point to bench your quarterback. And as far as simplifying too, Mully, you were talking about the stuff at the line. I'm also conflicted on that at this point. Yeah. You are 4-5. It's going to be a rugged road to the playoffs. Do we really want to start taking development plates off of his table at this point? Because, you know, no matter what, some of these pains that he's going through may be hugely beneficial when he arrives at training camp next year. And I hate that I just said next year, but the Bears are 4-5
I believe
in a rugged
too,
division.
I believe
you know,
in that.
I mean, right. So make him into a pro quarterback, which the Bears have been doing, even if it looks ugly at this point. And hopefully Thomas Brown can reveal some better things about this offense.
Mark, we'll let you go just on the way out and quickly. Who do you think they'll fire next week and which player gets cut?
Let's see. If the Bears lose, if they get trounced this week, they don't have a touchdown drive. Bye bye, Thomas Brown. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
Wow.
Appreciate it. I
can't wait to see what Jalen Johnson has to say about that.
Oh man. But sir, you're so competitive. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
What did you call me? I called you competitive.
Oh, you're a handsome man. Yes.
You're a great man.
Stuff.
Bless you, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
Bless you too. Bye, guys.
See you Sunday.
That's Mark Rohde. Always fun to talk to him, even under these circumstances.
To present Jeremy Roenick with his plaque, please welcome from the class of 2013, Chris Chelios.
That's my hero. Captain America, Chris Chelios. Never saw a guy love the game or more dedicated to the game ever like you, Chelly.
Wow. Huh?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. What a treat we have this morning. Not only are we going to be talking to our guy, BetMGM Ambassador Chris Chelios, BetMGM, but also the newest minted member of the Hockey Hall of Fame, Jeremy Roenick, JR with Chris now, and all guests brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Gentlemen, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, guys.
Doing good. Morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Good morning.
Well, we're all fired up. You know, that was great stuff, Jeremy. I mean, I'm sure that is a something you'll remember for the rest of your life. And watching it and thinking about all of the great Blackhawks involved, and you know, thinking about your career with the Blackhawks, thinking about Chris, thinking about Doug Wilson, you thanked as well. I mean, it's just it was a great event for Chicago.
Yeah, it really was. It was very special. It was something that I needed in my life. It's something that I wanted very much to be able to express a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions that I've had over not only the last 12 years waiting for this opportunity, but 30 years, you know, since, you know, being a Blackhawk. So, you know, my first speech was like 20 minutes and I got yelled at, and now I had to, you know, I had to take out so much, and there were so many people that obviously that you want to thank and you want to talk about, you know, Chris being, you know, one of the foremost people. There's nobody that I would have thought of on top of Chris, to be up there with me to, welcome me into one of the most prestigious clubs in the world. And, you know, how I feel about him goes beyond words. So for me to start that with Chris and to have him up there with me was I think more meaningful than I think Chris even understands or knows or anybody. And it was just too bad I can't elaborate as much as I feel in such a short amount of time up there. But I did get some cleansing. I did what I really wanted to do. And Chris gave me a really good piece of advice right when I was up there, you know, before I started, he said, just be you. And that's, you know, that just made it all, that made me so calm, and it came out much smoother than I expected it would.
Shelly, how special was it to be asked to introduce JR, and what did you want to make sure that you got across in your message?
Well, it was an honor, obviously, and I can't say I had a better teammate ever in my life. I've, you know, gotten along with all my teammates, but you know, my bond with Jeremy in those years we were together in Chicago and being in my hometown, and the success we did have early in the '90s, going to the finals, All Star game, some real special moments with Jeremy. So, and quite honestly, I didn't get to hear Jeremy talk about me. He just played that hit there, and I was walking backstage. So thank you, Jeremy, for the kind words. That was really nice. We had a good group of guys. He mentioned Tony Amonte, Eddie Belfour was up there, Steve Larmer, Savvy. So it was special to share that. And I know it meant a lot to Jeremy. Like you mentioned, over the past 12 years, wasn't a matter of, you know, if, it was when. Obviously, Jeremy, we wish your father could have been here, just like I wish my dad could have been here for the retirement. But, you know, just seeing Jeremy's family, his kids, all his friends that I've known for, crazy that it's been 30 years, but, it's special. It's a special moment. And I think Jeremy, I don't want to say it was a relief for him, but just for him to share that with his friends in the city of Chicago, everybody remembers him as a Blackhawk. That's the bottom line. So it's, you know, what a great career he had and a great person.
Going back to '92, JR.
Crying again. See, now I'm crying again.
Stop crying, dude.
What do you remember most about your time in Chicago, Jeremy, when you talked and reflected at your speech while you're going into the Hall of Fame? 53 goals is something that is hard to get past when you look at your numbers and you remember that season especially. But what do you remember most?
Well, I think it was such a impactful time. I have trouble remembering a lot about, a lot of things, mainly because of a lot of, concussions and just a lot of stress and things that have happened in my life. But there are things that I remember the most are those early days in Chicago. I said really quickly in my speech about walking into Chicago and having those fears of, turning pro. I talk about running into Al Secord. I talk about Mike Keenan. I talk about, how tough of a league it was. And I was only 160 pounds when I got there. And one of the things that really resonates the most is, having a good year and then Dennis Savard getting traded and what kind of pressure that put on me, them trading away Dennis to get Shelly, which turned out to be, as much as I love Dennis, getting Shelly into that locker room really changed the course of my development, between him and Steve Larmer and Michel Goulet. There was a leadership in that room that really you couldn't stray. And, Shelly is one of the only guys in my life that would, if I was out of line or if I was doing something that wasn't team oriented or being very individual, Shelly was that guy that grabbed me and said, "Hey, listen, we don't do it that way." Showing what leaders are and being in that All-Star game in 1991 was fantastic. Going to the Cup, like Shelly said, winning 11 straight and the team that we had, those years were spectacular. I mean, those are, Michelli and I going to, to Bulls games and watching Jordan and Pippen and, riding our motorcycles to practice and stuff like that. These were very impactful years for me and ones that I'll never forget.
Yeah, it's so much fun to think about that, to go back and look at it. And obviously, we're sitting here now and we're looking at the Bears season and it feels like it's falling apart. You think about young players and the people that have an influence on them, the coaches, other players. Teams go into crisis sometimes because they get the wrong people around players. You know what I'm saying? Like you, You have to have the right things in your system in order for anyone to succeed.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, for me, I'll speak first. A coach can make or break you, whether he gives you confidence or, you know, he takes you down. I mean, I'll use Mike Keenan as a perfect example. He was hard on guys. You had to have thick skin for him, and he was the perfect coach for me at that point in my career. I've had some of the greatest coaches, LeMaire, Bowman. So, right. But at the end of the day, you know, I believe in these guys, and I had great leaders in Bob Gainey, Larry Robinson to break into the league. And Jeremy can touch on that too. I compare him to like a Yzerman type situation when he got to the Hawks. Yzerman went for years without, you know, really any leadership. He was the youngest in the room. And, you know, Jeremy was a good listener. He really was, believe it or not. and he did eventually mold into the team player that he was. And it's hard, you know, after the success J.R. had as a kid and at the academy. And now you're watching Bedard go through. It's a big transition. And you could, you know, it could make or break you. So Jeremy obviously rose to the occasion and became the player that he was.
Yeah, and I think it's a different mentality too, right? Today, these kids today, they're very coddled. I think they grew up a lot easier. I mean, they grew up in an electronic age, that around computers, sitting in front of phones, not having the face-to-face interaction, not being very comfortable with eye-to-eye contact or having any kind of verbal confrontation or back in the early 90s, if you weren't doing something right, somebody's getting in your face,
right?
And they're yelling. And if you didn't have thick skin, if you didn't take it personally, if you took it personally, you were going to get pushed out. And, you know, it's a different mentality now. And back then you had to listen, and you're going to make a decision. Either you're going to accept criticism and just bear down, work harder, or you are going to find yourself out of the game. That's not the case anymore. It's very soft. I think players are very soft. They're very temperamental. Their feelings get hurt, and they make so much money nowadays that it's almost like there's no fear of losing something. It's a different mentality. And Chris was one of those guys that made sure that and Mike Keenan was one of those guys that made sure that everything was kosher in the locker room. Everybody was on the same page. And, you know, if you had an identity, you're playing to it. There was no individualism.
Kelly, you can book our show anytime. Thanks, guys. This has been great.
It's great. JR, congrats, man. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah,
love you, Kelly.
You guys.
Yeah. Love you, Kelly.
All right, take care.
That is Chris Chelios and Jeremy Roenick. Come on.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
You can tell they're still emotional. You can tell they're still fresh off that Monday night honor. It's the honor of a lifetime. He thanked Doug Wilson for saving his life. He had Chris Chelios introduce him. Very much a Chicago story.
Yeah.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.